were divided are being brought together to make up the last beast to oppose the true church. So Babylon, that great city, was divided in three parts. Here in this eighth verse, it says she is fallen. This will let us know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, who Babylon is. Why is she fallen, we want to know. And where did she fall from? Revelation 14 and 8 said Babylon is fallen because. Give us a reason. She made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now we can better understand the wrath of her fornication and the cup that she's making them drink. Friends, may God help you through the Spirit of God to see these are spiritual realities, not literal happenings. You'll never see a scarlet-colored beast with seven heads and ten horns and a corrupt whore, if you'll pardon the expression, that's what the Scripture uses, riding upon it. But it's a symbolic expression of a spiritual condition that's existing right in the day and age in which we live. And that we might know what this wine of the wrath of her fornication is, we could better understand it. Turn with us to the 17th chapter of Revelation, and we read five verses. Here's Babylon in a more advanced stage, but we want to understand why she has fallen. Many people tonight don't know why that the church they used to worship in, there was glory and power there. Spirituality existed. Nothing to see people's eyes wet with tears by the moving of God's Holy Spirit. Right. Nothing in some of them to see them shout and rejoice years ago. Yeah. How come they're not that way now? She's fallen. Now we want to know why she's fallen. The Bible said she's fallen because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Well, we want to understand what that is. So we turn to Revelation 17 and read five verses. There came one of the seven angels, here's another ministry, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now let's get understanding. Revelation answers some of its own symbols, enough to keep us on the right track. In Revelation 17, verse 15, let's see what the waters are. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, Revelation 17, verse 15, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people, multitudes, nations and tongues. So see here, the waters is spoken of a symbol of people. And here's a woman. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like that expression. Well, I can say an unclean woman if you like that better. Revelation calls her a corrupt prostitute. And there's a reason for it. Don't anyone think that this message or this scripture is pointed at any individual person. This is pointed at a false religion. And there's a reason that an unclean, amen, corrupt prostitute is used to symbolize a false church. I'll give you the reason. Now we found that the waters that you sit on is people. We found that the waters that you sit on is people. With whom, Revelation 17 and 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. For he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colors, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination of the filthiness of her fornication. This is Babylon in a more, amen, advanced stage. I want you to see the beast here. We're not going to be preaching on this beast tonight, but I want you to understand by the scripture what this wine of the wrath of her fornication is. Why God holds it so against her. He saw a woman sitting on this scarlet colored beast, clothed in scarlet garments, or purple garments. My friend, purple and scarlet, the scripture said, decked with precious stones, with a cup in her hand. And that cup was full of the wine of the filthiness of the wrath of her fornication. Now let's analyze this thing. Already we find that the beast she's riding on, that she's sitting on, or the waters, one place says she's sitting on a beast, the other on many waters. My friend, John gave us understanding right there in the book that the water was people. So here's a woman. We'll prove to you shortly, symbolizing a false church that's reigning over many people. And she's so deceptive that if you read through the 14th verse of the 17th chapter, that the apostle John, that God was given this revelation, wandered after and a martyr and thought it was beautiful. But God said to him, hold still, John, I'll tell you the truth of this thing. It's deceptive. Here this woman has on a purple robe, a sign or symbol of royalty. Really reigning. She's decked with gold and silver and precious stones. You turn to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and you turn to Matthew's gospel, and you find that those gold, silver, and precious stones are symbols of truths out of God's word. Somebody said, how do you get that? Jesus told you in his word to cast not your pearl before the swine. They'll trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. What are you talking about? Every Bible student knows that when he said, cast not your pearl before the swine, he wasn't talking about you taking beads off your neck and throwing them to hogs. It was a spiritual lesson there. He said, don't cast your truth. Don't try to stand and tell somebody the truth that's got an old worldly or hog nature. Because after you get done talking to them, even though you were sincere, they'll trample that truth you told them under their feet and rend you in the back after you're gone. There and in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, gold, silver, precious stones are symbols of truth. So here's a false church, if you please, got a robe of royalty on, but there's scarlet on it. Nothing more than a symbol of the blood, if you please, or sinful condition. Isaiah, the 1st chapter, God said, though your sins be like scarlet, thank God you get them washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they'll be white like wool. Yes. Thank God, even though sin is deep dyed, thank God it may took years for the devil to dye your soul with that sin and that vile and corrupt thing you may have been in. Thank God one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ can make the vilest sinner clean. He said, I'll wash you in my blood and make you whiter than snow, he said. So here's a sinful condition. She's got truths, my friend, glittering like the women, amen, that don't understand the scripture and still deck themselves in worldly apparel. What apparel? What do they wear the glittering gems for to catch attention? So here's a false church that decked with truths. Brother, you go to hit false religion, it makes no difference what's going on in the basement. They can have a pool room in the basement of the church. Amen. They can have a supper 3 times a week. In one church in our town, they even played bingo right in the house of God on Friday night. But they dangle truths around in front of the people. So if anybody begin to get alarmed about what's going on in the church house, amen, they'll flash these truths around. Look here, we still believe in the Bible. We still believe in the Bible. But what's back of that thing? There's a vast difference between being decked with a few truths and clothed in the New Testament. The Bible tells us to be clothed in the New Testament. Tells us to put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? Come on now. Every Bible student knows you can only put on Christ as you put on His Word. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word. My friend, He became flesh. The Word of God became flesh. And then when He died and went away to heaven, it became spirit. Somebody said, I don't believe it. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse, Paul said He's made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, if you please. So thank God when we put on Christ, we put on truth. Amen. You got just as much Christ on tonight as you're adorning God's eternal Word. Get the Spirit of God within your heart and adorn yourself with the Word of God. Of course, some people can't put on 1 Peter 3:3 till they take off some things. And some people can't put on 1 Timothy 2:6 until they take off some things. And some people can't put on 1 Timothy 2:6 until they let their dress down a little to the bottom. And a little bit looser all the way down. Somebody said that isn't Bible. You look and see if it isn't. Jesus not only got a bride, but He tells her how to dress, how to act. Amen. And she dresses to please Him. Somebody said that's the old-fashioned gospel. It never changed. It's everlasting gospel. Yes, sir. The gospel just the same tonight as it was when your grandpa preached it. It never changes. And it produces the same kind of people. With the same kind of peace and the same kind of power. Amen. All right. So we've got, my friend, before us a false church. Now we must get right to the point we're interested with what's in that cup. The charge God had against Babylon. Somebody said, that isn't Babylon. I read it to you. She had her name written on her forehead. The 5th verse. Mystery Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots. And abominations of the earth. So here's Babylon of the New Testament. Now she had a cup in her hand. And that cup's the thing we want our eyes on because God is stirred with her. And she's fallen because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now what's he talking about? Brother, sister, tonight, when we look at this thing, may God help us to see it. I want you to note the golden cup in her hand. Let me read it to you again. Revelation 17:4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, here's a symbol tonight. Amen. Fasten your seatbelt, but I want to tell you the truth, and I'll smile while I tell you. Here's a symbol tonight of cheap religion. Now come on. Anybody that understands symbolic language, somebody said, I'm afraid of them symbols. The whole Bible's full of them. Jesus spoke in parables, used symbols, taking natural things to teach a spiritual lesson. When he wanted to show us, my friend, false religion tonight, he took a corrupt woman. Whenever you see a woman in that shape, that's branded, what the Bible says this woman is, a prostitute, my friend, you're thinking of a cheap woman. There's a reason that this woman is taken to show corrupt or false religion tonight. And it's very easy understood, natural things taken to as a symbol, my friend, of spiritual things. Here's a picture of false religion at its peak. The Bible said, let me say it once more, a whore in a drunken stupor, arrayed in purple or royalty and scarlet sin, decked with precious stones. This symbol is used for a sound reason. Why? Think from a literal sense in a moment. A good woman is man's greatest human blessing. God said so. And an evil woman or a bad one is the most destructive creature on the face of the globe. Brother, she'll wreck and ruin more men now. Hold your seats. Get me again. I'm not talking about any individual or persons now. We're talking about false religion. But I have to clarify the literal thing to show you the spiritual. I said a good woman is man's greatest human blessing. God said so. And a bad one, my friend, is the most destructive creature on the face of the globe. Even so, pure religion tonight is man's greatest spiritual blessing. But a corrupt religion is damning more souls and sending more souls to hell than the saloon and the bar. Now somebody said, why is she called a corrupt whore? We're not be afraid, little children, catching that word, because I'm preaching this and annoying the Holy Spirit, and God knows my mind's pure and yours better be. God will whip the life out of you. Why is false religion called a corrupt prostitute or whore? Brother, to become the bride of Christ, it invokes the thought of marriage. You've got to quit sin to marry Christ. The Bible brings it very plain. In Romans the 7th chapter, there Paul told us that we become divorced from the law and became married to another, even him who was raised from the dead, Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 24th through the 26th verse, he said, as the wife is subject unto the husband, so let the church be subject unto Christ in all things. Pure religion tonight invokes the thought of marriage. We quit the sin business. Fall so in love with Jesus. That's why we sing tonight. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? He's our husband. We're the bride of Christ. And we love him. There's a lot of people love him, but not to the thought of matrimony. There's a second work of grace in the Bible. You may love and appreciate him. As the scripture said, there's many called, but few chosen. How come there's few chosen? Because they won't meet the conditions of a real bride. Now I'll thrill your hearts when I begin to talk about the day that man took you by the arm and led you up to the altar in front of the preacher. And that preacher asked you if you'd forsake all others for him alone, faithfully perform unto him all the duties that a wife owes to a husband so long as you both shall live. And you said, I do, about 3 times before you ever got to stop. But you really want to. You love that man. Now come on. The same thought is conveyed in the scripture when the church becomes the bride of Christ. Fell in love with him. Thank God I'm dealing on one of the greatest love stories. I hope to make it a message. Over in Hosea, I've been studying there. You know Gomer, Hosea's wife, fell into servitude and prostitution. And God began to tell him about that woman being a type of Israel, the church, that had sold herself for naught. You know what he said, Gomer? Go pay the full price and buy her out of slavery. and he brought her out of slavery, thank God, and they were married and lived happy ever after. You got a perfect type there of the church. You and I sold in the slavery and servitude of sin. But Jesus loved us so much. He's already free. But he loved us so much. Thank God he come down and paid the price. The free price bought us out of the slavery and servitude, and he wants us to become his bride. Many people love him tonight because he saved them. But they don't love him to the thought of matrimony. Will you come in the second work of grace and consecrate your life? Say, Lord, from here on out, not my will, but thine be done. I consecrate my all into your hand. I forsake all others for you alone. The real thought of real salvation invokes marriage. Now, why is false religion showed as a prostitute? Because men can join churches, take up different systems of religion, and never quit the sin business. Just as a man out here in the literal sense that don't want to come to God's way of matrimony, he runs off to a cheaper method and finds a corrupt woman. Even so tonight, men tonight that don't want to meet the conditions of God's eternal word are running to these harlot bodies, joining those harlots. That's why you read in 1 Corinthians, I'll not be able to preach on them. I'm not through yet, but I want you to get these scriptures. That's why you read in 1 Corinthians 6:15 through about 18. He said, what, know ye not that you're the members of Christ? If you're ever born again, you're a member of Christ. Shall I take the members of Christ and join them to a harlot? God forbid. Flee fornication. How do you commit spiritual fornication? Very simple. Come here, Brother Richie. You'll have to be a woman now for a little bit. Y'all know whom a bride is. How do you commit spiritual fornication? Brother, literal fornication is a type of. This is my bride, Mrs. Wilson. Well, now, come on, I'm using symbolic language. All of you know who she is. I'm going away to hold a meeting for 3 weeks. You see her down on the street hanging on to John Jones. You walk up and say, Sister Wilson, ain't that you? Oh, yeah, this is Sister Wilson. Well, what are you doing? Well, my husband went away, so I'm living with John Jones now. I'm taking his name and doing what he tells me till my husband comes back. As they walk away, you say, boy, she's a fornicator. Yeah. All right. You're the bride of Christ who's ever saved. Yeah. But you went over here and joined a body, taking another name, being led by the commandments of that church, even though some of that creed oversteps what the husband said. The Bible said you commit spiritual fornication. Now, why has she fallen? Why has she fallen? God help me to make it plain. Look at her cup. Why has she fallen? What's God's charge against her? She made all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. How did she do it? Out of her cup, John saw that cup. Now look at the golden cup. Jeremiah, the 51st chapter. Let's study here a minute. Find what the cup really is by the Bible. The 116th Psalm. Put your finger in Jeremiah, the 51st chapter, and hold that page. And then think with me on the 116th Psalm, the 13th verse. Wonder what the cup is. David said, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vow in the congregation of all the saints, or all his people. All through the scripture, the cup is symbolized of salvation. Now here's a golden cup in this woman's hand. She got something else in it. Let's look here in Jeremiah hurriedly, the 51st chapter, and we'll read the 6th through the 10th verses because of the space of time. Flee out of the midst of Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. Now, like you stay there, you get cut off. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Brother, there was a time when God used Babylon. When did he use her? When she preached the truth and led men to real salvation. She was a golden cup in God's hand. But look at the picture now. Revelation 17, 1 to 5, she had a golden cup in her hand. Brother, this thing went out of God's hand into her hand. And instead of handing salvation to the world, she's a handing them fornication, trying to get them to join her church. She's more interested in you joining her church than she is you finding a real heartfelt experience with God. That's why she's fallen. God will use any people anywhere that'll strictly teach salvation and point men and women to the Christ of Calvary and get them experience. But the religious world today, my friend, as a whole, not everybody, but as a whole, my friend, a great majority, the cup in their hand, the thing they're handing to the people, is to get you to join their organization. Somebody said that's not their foremost thought. Brother, you can find salvation anywhere. Amen. In the living room, the kitchen, wherever you seek God with all your heart, that day you'll be found, as the scripture said. But even though you find salvation, think with me, happy in your soul, living for God, they'll pester you to death till you join that church. Why? Those preachers are sent there by councils of men, and they have to answer to a human headquarters, and they have to turn in a membership roll every year, and unless they make some gain, they'll end up with a smaller church next year. They could go up there and say, brethren, we've led 35 people to Christ. We got 35 people down there that got saved the last 6 months. They're shouting happy, got victory in their soul, and got power with God. What's the next question there? Are they on the roll? Well, no. Well, then you can't get no credit for them. Brother, the contents of her cup has changed. She's reaching to the world, and you know as well as I do, until we're living in a day when religion, which was to change men's heart and give them peace, has become a society. People don't think, too many people, not everybody, too many people don't see any difference in joining the church or joining some other club. A businessman comes into town, he's going to start a business. One of the first things he looks for is a church with the highest steeple, where he can reach the greatest number of people. My time's gone, but the 18th chapter of Revelation will teach you how she's making merchandise of it. And the souls of men, oh, this is hard to say, but it's right in there. She put the souls of men on the same level with animals, merchandise. What do you mean? The soul of a man isn't worth any more than some merchandise. Oh, they wouldn't do that. The Bible says they will and they are. What do you mean? Brother, they'll back up off of truths that you need that would mean the salvation of your soul. But because they love the good paycheck you're putting in every week, They'll refuse from telling you the truth to keep them offended. Brother, I'd tell you the truth if every one of you got mad and left. I was divinely called of God to preach. I don't have to answer to no people. The next higher thing above me, our headquarters is in heaven. People all over the country said, where is your headquarters? Brother Wilson, I said, where the head is. That's sound thinking. That's where the headquarters is, where the head is. Anybody that understands the Bible knows the head of the church is Christ, and he's over in heaven. Somebody said, where's your church record kept? 87th Psalm said, the Lord shall count. When he writes up the people that this and that man were born in her. I don't keep count of the people. Christ does. Why? Only he sees the heart. See, it's a known fact in these human religions, you can commit sin. Come on now. You can become a sinner, and even a vile sinner, and still be recognized on the roll. But you can't in God's church. No, he sees the hearts of all mankind. Brother, when sin begins to work in the heart, out you go. No man puts you out. Brother, let me tell you, scratched off the roll and joy and peace you once enjoyed in your soul comes to an end. You know you've lost your connection with God. Somebody said, why is God so against that, Brother Wilson? Because there's countless millions over our land tonight facing death. The only God knows our appointed time. This may be my day to die. I don't know. We've all got an appointed time. There's millions tonight that's going to reach their appointed time. Every time the clock ticks 90, go into eternity. Millions are going to step off between now and tomorrow this time, and many of them with no experience in their soul, but feel they're all right, deceived, feel they're all right because they joined the church. They didn't really marry Christ, they just commit fornication with a religious body, spiritual fornication. That's why God's against it. Why? We're God's creation. We're God's creation. The Bible tells us he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Let me read a little farther. Jeremiah 51:6, flee out of the midst of Babylon. Deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He'll render unto her recompense. That's why we read in Revelation, the hour of his judgment is come. God's putting judgment on false religion. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Somebody said, how are they mad? Will you give me just a few moments? I'm sorry to hold you so late tonight. This is a big subject. They've drunk of her cup. Therefore the nations are mad, the scripture said, or reeling. The Septuagint said, why? Revelation 17:2, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What do you mean drunk? They're hard to deal with in the thought of their souls because they've drunk of her cup. Can't you see this prostitute symbolizing false religion? The unclean woman that's in that kind of business has a cup in her hand. If she can get a young man to drink out of her cup, she's got him. It'll not be long, amen, until he'll go into more vile sin. Even so, my friend, the deceitfulness of this thing is pointed out. May God help us to see it. He said, the nations have drank of her cup and they're mad or hard to deal with. Revelation 17 says they're drunk. What do you mean drunk? Hard to deal with about their souls. You take a man that has never joined a human organization, religious organization. You go to deal with him about his soul, he'll say, I know I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I've never done a thing in the thought of my salvation. You can deal with him. But take somebody to commit fornication with a false religion. You ask them about their soul, they'll come right back. Why, I've belonged to church for years. Yeah. Come on. Press it a little farther. Yeah, but have you got real salvation? They'll tell you of all the things. Well, I've taught a Sunday school class for 25 years, man. I said, yeah, but are you saved? And tell you something else, and tell you something else. You got to press them right on down until you finally break them down, and they finally admit, no, I never had a change of heart. But I was being drunk, why? Because they're like a natural drunk man, insensible to the coming judgment. Don't worry about it. When they're going to be lost, friends, putting your name on a church record won't keep you out of hell. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and Sadducees, you'll never enter heaven. What kind of religion they have? Just the same kind of preaching here. They had churches. They belonged to churches. They had self-righteousness, though. No spiritual righteousness. People have been numb to the coming judgment. Can't even stir them within your soul about the awfulness of a lost eternity, because I've joined the church. It's been a stumbling block to millions of souls. May God help us see the truth of the matter. They're insensible to coming judgment. They're benumbed to the guilt of sin. The fear of God has been removed. They live lives without consideration of the end. And into these warped minds and twisted mind goes the seed of atheism and heathenism. Oh, I don't believe you. My friend, if you'd read the late statistics that I have that came from a college where a group of older ministers have went back to take a refresher course, and when they give them a spiritual IQ, I've got statistics that show 85% of them that once were holiness preachers don't believe in the virgin birth now. 35% of them don't believe there's a real devil. Where'd it come from? From men that in their younger days of ministry was on fire and preached holiness. Where'd it come from? Brother, let me tell you, they drank of this old cup. Lost the real fire of God out of their soul. That mind is open for atheism. False religion tonight is opening the door for communism. Many would sober up and hear the truth, but there's more and more of the wine. And I told you that the wine is the spirit, or I meant to tell, the spirit or the teaching there that they teach that keeps people intoxicated. Friends, there'll be a day when Babylon's wine will not be there to intoxicate. The devil wants to keep man drunk until too late, but you'll be sobered up, my friend, at the final judgment, even if we don't get sober in this preliminary judgment. May God help us to see it. We come on down through in the Revelation. I'd like to read, if you don't mind, the rest of this chapter in Jeremiah. I'm going to close. It's too late. I'll not finish this lesson tonight. Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. howl for her. Take balm for her pain, if so be that she may be healed. Somebody said, I'm going to stay there and try to help her. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. God give her a chance to be healed. When to give her a chance? All these years she's here. Brother, when she had the truth. We go farther in these messages, that'll be up to God. Whether we go on next week, we'll show you a condition on over in here where God has given them a chance to be healed. But she would not be healed. Here's what the Bible tells you to do. Let us, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. Let us go everyone in his own country, for her judgment reach unto heaven and is lifted even to the sky. Turn with me to Revelation, the 18th chapter. I'm going to close this lesson here. I'd like to went on and told you what happened to old Israel. They had some job of getting out of, quite a job getting out of Babylon. May God help us. Let me read. Here in the 18th chapter of Revelation, I'm through. Same thing Jeremiah said. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. Here's a ministry with a divine call. Having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sin, that you receive not of her plague. Oh, friend, please, please, reason with me together out of God's eternal word. Would you be this fair? Get on your knees somewhere tonight by your bedside and ask God. Ask God if the things we've spoken tonight are true and according to his word, or whether they're a passing fancy of Emerson Wilson. Come out of her, my people. For what reason? That you be not partaker of her sin. His people. Imagine that. Come out of her, my people. That lets us know that God's got people down there. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, there's good people down there. God's people down there in some of those places. But what's the message to them? Come out of them. Why? There's a spirit that predominates there. Brother Smith? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, Brother Smith. Brother Smith has been a minister in a couple religious organizations. He wrestled with the thing. I don't think he minded me telling. You've heard him tell it. He wrestled with the thing, tried to stand up for the truth. He knew what it was to get shipped around. They wouldn't hear the message of truth. Shipped him around the country churches till they wore him clear down. Till he lost the grace of God out of his soul. Come over in the living room one day when Brother Brooks was here. Brother Quickle and him and I there prayed, and God wonderfully saved him and sanctified him. Got the peace of God back in his soul. Amen. And just been sitting drinking in the truth. See, he didn't see it in the revelation, but he saw it in reality because he was out there in it. Come out of her, my people. Now, there's two kinds of people in Babylon. God's people and their people. Who are God's people? People that are really born again, belong to the Lord. Who's their people? People that just humanly joined the church. The Bible speaks of it as the sheep and the goats mixed together. Would this hurt you if I tell you about it? 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Mark this one down. Don't read this one as a bedtime story. You won't sleep a wink tonight. 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Begin reading the 11th verse. He says, as a shepherd seeketh out his sheep in a day that his sheep are scattered, so will I both search out my sheep and get them out from all the places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. What do you mean cloudy and dark day? Zechariah 14 and 7 prophesied there'd be a darkness. Then it'd be a day not dark and not light, a mixture of truth and error. Every creed's got truth in it, but there's error in it too. Not dark, not light, but in the evening time it shall be light. Evening time of what? This gospel day. It don't get light in the evening time. It wasn't talking about the firmament of a natural day. It gets dark. Evening time will be light. And old Ezekiel said, I'll gather my sheep out from all the places where they've been scattered in this cloudy and dark day, and I'll bring them back to the good mountains of Israel, and they'll lay down in peace in the fold, and I'll feed my sheep. He tells us that while we're down in Babylon, you got a mixture of two kinds of people, God's people and Babylon's people. Or the Bible tells in Revelation, her children. Come on. He calls this thing Jezebel. Anybody that knows the Bible knows what kind of woman Jezebel was. He said, I'll kill her children and bring my children out. Not physically killed. No. A spiritual one. He tells us as long as we're in there, we're yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse. Mark that down. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Somebody said that's marriage vow. No. The same Apostle Paul said if you got an unbelieving companion, stay with him. But here he said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has light with darkness? Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Ezekiel shows us as long as we're down in Babylon, there's goats and sheep there. The sheep love God, they love his truth. They want to have prayer meetings in the middle of the week. But the goats want to have a bowling team. They want to do a worldly something.